Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you all for being here today. I think this is a very important topic that is actually being discussed statewide. It was recently, we passed it last year, and it was implemented January 1 of 2020. I am really very pleased to be surrounded by, I think, some of the best legal minds in the Western New York community. And so it's very gratifying to know that something that I feel emotionally about is really has a strong basis in the law. And so we're here today to talk about bail reform. I mean, despite what you have heard in the public, and you hear it a lot, you hear a lot more from the naysayers than you do from the people who really understand the value of allowing folks access to their Eighth Amendment right. And despite what you've read about in the media, violent criminals are not being released as a result of bail reform. I want to repeat that because it's been said so many times that people think it's true. Violent criminals are not being released as a result of bail reform. This fear-mongering is all it is. It's creating an opportunity to divide the electorate. It's creating an opportunity to divide people politically. And at the same time, it's actually harming people's lives if we go backwards on this issue. It's not something that we can go backwards on. I am not going to be that one who says that this legislation should be revisited. I am going to be that one that says allow it to operate for a year. And if we really can clearly see some visible differences that are negative to society, then I think we should talk about it. But we haven't seen those yet, and I don't believe that we will see those. If we can just look at our own district attorney, Mr. Flynn, who implemented non-cash bail for nonviolent crimes before the law even went into effect. The results of that have been very beneficial, not only to those families that were impacted, but the numbers literally went down in the Erie County Detention Center from 1,074 people to 425 people. And at the same time, saving the county of Erie $35 million. Now, here's what I do understand, that reduction in inmates means that somebody may not be working. But that's not a bad thing, because there are other opportunities for these folks to work. In fact, in this year's budget, I understand the county has added an additional 12 DAs to deal with the discovery pieces of the law that are included. That is a reasonable way to handle public money. When people are incarcerated, particularly if it's nonviolent and they have a job and they have kids and they have a wife, and they have to stay in jail because they don't have resources to pay, their family is disrupted. The community they live in is disrupted. The children are without a parent. All of these things have impacts on people that last a lot longer than, say, 30 days if they end up there for 30 days. Or in Khalil Browder's case, where he ended up there for 3 years for being accused of taking a book bag. He never went to court. He never was convicted. And we all have rights in America. Everybody wants to protect their constitutional rights. Let's protect the constitutional rights of people who are black, brown, and poor. This is what this is about. And for everybody who thinks that it's not, I'm gonna have to wonder, why is it important for them to have constitutional rights and it's not important for people who don't have resources to have constitutional rights? This for me was a very easy vote to take, because I do understand the Constitution, and I do understand that you are not guilty until you've been tried in court, no matter whether you've been arrested or not. I understand that, and I'm so glad that we did this, and it breaks my heart to hear some of the rhetoric that's constantly coming out about this. And it cannot be coming out because everybody who gets arrested for something nonviolent should be in jail. This negative rhetoric is coming out about something else. I don't want to speak to people's values, but I will want to question why you think somebody should be in jail just because they've been arrested and they haven't been prosecuted. You would not want that to be your son. You would not want it to be your daughter. And quite honestly, you would not want it to be yourself. You would want your constitutional rights upheld. That's all we are asking for here with this bail reform. And I'm really honored to have these folks standing with me, the best legal minds in Western New York, to help describe why this is so important. With that, I want to bring forward Rebecca Towns, who is an attorney here in the great facility that we're in today, and for her comments. And she will introduce the speakers who will follow her. And we will be happy to address questions when we're done. Thank you.
For years, thousands of New Yorkers who have not been convicted of a crime have sat in jail simply because they could not afford to pay bail. Meanwhile, people with money, whose guilt or innocence is no better known, get to go home. That means that the amount of money you have on hand determines whether you will be free to fight your charges or sit in jail while the rest of your life unravels. The Bill of Rights guarantees that excessive bail shall not be set. Yet judges rarely consider the defendant's ability to pay. Bail was never meant to hold people in custody. It is meant to ensure that a defendant returns to court and should be set at a level that they can pay, or its purpose is subverted. In this country, we have always been considered innocent until proven guilty. Yet a shocking 2/3 of people who are sitting in our jails have not been found guilty of anything. And 75% of them have been charged with property crimes or drug offenses and not violent crimes. Last year, our state legislature enacted reforms meant to address the overuse of jails and to stop the unjust practice of punishing poor people just because they are poor, by banning cash bail for defendants charged with most misdemeanors and nonviolent felony offenses. New York's bail law, which just went into effect on January 1st, is expected to reduce the number of people sitting pretrial by up to 40%. Although we are less than 1 month into implementation, some are already calling for these reforms to be rolled back in the name of public safety. And while genuine threats to public safety should never be taken lightly, the data simply does not support these fears. Several states have already enacted bail reform, and they have not seen rises in the level of crime. In fact, data shows that over-reliance on cash bail may actually make our communities less safe. Researchers have found that spending even a few days in jail before trial correlates with a defendant committing more crimes later on. Being detained before trial for even a short time can set off a devastating downward spiral that is difficult to escape. As a public defender, I have seen how destabilizing pretrial detention can be. People who are often struggling may lose their jobs or their homes, custody of their children, and even access to essential medication and treatment. Frequently, people who cannot afford to make bail end up pleading guilty just to get out of jail, even if they are innocent. Walking away with a criminal conviction that makes it substantially harder to get a job to replace the one that was lost. Vulnerable families who are barely making ends meet will see their lives unravel when a loved one has cash bail placed on their case. And this effect ripples out into our communities. For too long, jail has been the easy answer to complicated problems of addiction, mental illness, poverty, and broken communities. Instead of rushing to dismantle the new laws, we should give them time to work and focus instead on supporting alternatives like supervised release programs, drug and mental health counseling. New York has committed itself to a fairer criminal justice system, and I commend the majority leader for standing by that commitment. Thank you. And next, I believe we'll hear from Terry Connors.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Terry Connors. I've been a trial lawyer in this community for 40 years now. I also served a term as chair of the criminal justice section of the New York State Bar Association. That bar association is the largest voluntary bar association in the United States. This legislation is so overdue that I'm embarrassed that our system of justice didn't have it before it was introduced by the Assembly Speaker and her colleagues. The bail system in the state of New York is broken. It resulted in more injustice than justice. It was clearly a two-tiered system. It was a system where if you had the economic wherewithal, you could get out on the street and continue your life. If you didn't, you suffered the penalties. And those penalties far exceeded the penalties that would be imposed even if you were found guilty. I can tell you story after story that I'm aware of throughout the state of New York where individuals languished in jail, spent time there more than they would have had they just pled guilty and were sentenced. And many of them did that. Innocent people pled guilty because they just couldn't afford the bail on the charges that were placed against them. This had to stop. So when this legislation was being considered, stakeholders from all over the justice system, from every part of it, were invited to participate. This wasn't something that was rushed into legislation without some thought. A great deal of thought went into it. Scholars, legislators, lawyers, prosecutors, law enforcement, they all had an opportunity to say their piece. And when this legislation was passed, it was heralded as a giant step forward in the transformation of an unequal and unfair policy. And now critics come out of the woodwork to complain. They complain that one person was released and committed another crime again. That happened under the old bail system. But the difference now is that those individuals who are presumed innocent under our Constitution have the opportunity to fight their cases while they're on the street, continuing their jobs, continuing their lives with their families, and doing what the Constitution was, what the Constitution was written to protect. That didn't happen before. So I commend Crystal Peoples for standing up for this. I commend her now for standing behind this legislation as well. We can sit back and wait and look to see what happens. We can examine it as all good legislation is examined. But to just say now that it has to be rolled back or it has to be sufficiently tweaked to change it would be, in my judgment, a terrible mistake and would roll back what has been an initial step towards protecting your rights and my rights under the Constitution of our state and of the United States. So I wholeheartedly support this legislation and that it should stay in practice as it is until we see definitively whether there are problems or issues that need to be addressed. And those can always be addressed. Thank you.
That's me, I'm sorry. Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Stadelmeyer. I'm the Chief Attorney of the Criminal Defense Unit for the Legal Aid Bureau of Buffalo. I'm also a board member and the chairperson of the Legislative and Lobbying Committee for the New York State Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, and also speaking on behalf of the Chief Defenders Association of New York, and their board president, David Shope, was also the CEO of the Legal Aid Bureau of Buffalo. And on behalf of those organizations and thousands of public defenders in New York, with as much conviction as I can muster, on the issue of bail reform, we cannot go back. The new bail reforms have brought a heretofore unseen level of fundamental fairness to what for decades was fundamentally unfair. For years, public defenders, community stakeholders, and like-minded legislators like Crystal Peoples Stokes have fought tirelessly to ensure that those poor people charged with low-level offenses would not languish in pretrial incarceration while those of means charged with the same offenses walked free. If Harvey Weinstein, charged with forcible rape, can post bail and walk free because he's rich, then the conversation isn't about dangerousness, it's about extortion. If the purpose of bail for low-level offenders is really and truly about appearing in court, let's make the conversation about that and not about the perceived dangerousness of poor low-level offenders. With the new reforms, the playing field is leveled. No longer will our clients, all of them presumed innocent, all of them struggling to stay afloat financially, be forced to pay to remain free pending trial. No longer will they lose their housing, their children, their jobs because they don't have the means to bribe the system to be released. No longer will the courts and prosecutors be able to leverage further pretrial incarceration as an effort to extract quick dispositions. It's really a bright new day. The enacted reforms were extremely well studied and well thought out and well argued for years. Everyone was on the same page. Everybody knew it was coming. They are already having the desired positive effects envisioned. People are showing for their court dates, and the jail populations are down substantially across the state. And no amount of Monday morning quarterbacking by fear-mongering law enforcement and Republican assembly persons and senators are going to change that fact. We must stand strong in the face of their opposition. These reforms were not entered into lightly. They should not now be rolled back 24 days after taking effect. We cannot go back. We will not go back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Elmore. I'm an attorney. I'm in my 36th year practicing law. I have a very varied background in the criminal justice system, having been a former New York State Trooper. My first job as an attorney was in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. And of the 35 new attorneys in the District Attorney's Office when I started there was Governor Cuomo as well as Eliot Spitzer. And my first day in the office, I had the same training that Governor Cuomo was given. And Robert Morgenthau, who's probably the greatest prosecutor in the country ever, the most well-respected, taught us that a prosecutor's job is to seek justice and not just seek convictions like a gunslinger getting notches on a gun belt. And that's the philosophy that Governor Cuomo has always had as an attorney general in this state and as the governor of this state. And I applaud Governor Cuomo as well as Crystal Peoples for sponsoring and signing this legislation modernizing New York State's bail system. Now just think a couple years ago, everybody was excited and afraid about the law system that required police officers to wear body cams. There was a big pushback by law enforcement. And what law enforcement has found is it's reduced crime. They found that when somebody's is being filmed, right, their behavior is better. There's less resisting arrest. There's less lawsuits against the police departments because police officers are now wearing body cams. Well, let's look at the bail reform here. And again, I'm a former prosecutor. I've been a defense attorney. I worked for Governor Cuomo in the Manhattan DA's office. I'm a former New York State Assistant Attorney General under Robert Abrams, another great prosecutor. So let's look at the bail system, okay? The purpose of bail is only to assure a person's appearance in court. That's all. There's no presumption of guilt in New York State. A person is presumed to be innocent unless proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. There have been a lot of high-profile cases nationally and locally where people have spent years, and in some cases decades, in jail for crimes that they didn't commit. And oftentimes, those people who get convicted unlawfully or wrongfully are people who cannot afford to get bail. When a defendant is out on bail, he is of great assistance to his lawyer because he can help that lawyer uncover exculpatory evidence, to find witnesses, to help the defendant's attorney prove his innocence. Not only that, but while he's out on bail, he can do a lot to rehabilitate himself. If there's a drug problem, he can get assistance and treatment. If he has an alcohol problem, he can get assistance and treatment. If he has issues where he needs some type of counsel or has educational deficiencies, while he's out of jail, he can do those things. But not only that, but when they're in jail, it's a tremendous drain on the resources of the family. Oftentimes, I've represented people, and everybody, all the lawyers here have represented people who can't make bail. So what happens? They don't go to job. They can't go to their job for 2 or 3 days. They lose their job. Now all of a sudden they got rent to pay. They got children that need to be fed. They have cars that could be repossessed, and oftentimes they're evicted. So the fact that the person that's just accused of a crime that doesn't belong in jail can't make bail, not only is it just totally unfair and unconstitutional to hold them in jail because they can't afford it, but it's a drain on our public resources because oftentimes a guy's working at Walmart and he loses his job, well, his family now is on welfare, and the taxpayers are paying for that. We're spending $60,000 a year to hold people in cages. That's a lot of money. There are a lot of people that are in cages for crimes that they're accused of that they didn't commit, and they should be released. I applaud Governor Cuomo. I applaud Assemblywoman Peoples for sticking up. And I can tell you that this law that we have in New York State is not much different than the bail laws in Texas, which is considered to be very, very archaic when it comes to the criminal justice system. It's not much different than the law in New Jersey where they enacted it. And in Philadelphia, they have a new district attorney that was elected a year ago who was with the Legal Aid Bureau and became the district attorney. And he just implemented a no cash bail policy, and crime has gone down in Philadelphia. So there are a lot of people, they're giving you the buzzwords. You know, violent people are being released from jail and they're endangering our community. They're not giving you the straight facts. Like, for instance, the law says that you cannot set bail for criminally for manslaughter, okay? You can't set bail for manslaughter. Well, manslaughter is really when you commit a homicide under an extreme emotional distress, okay? It requires psychological proof. Prosecutors don't, and police officers don't, charge people with manslaughters. Defense lawyers like Mr. Connors and myself, we try cases and use manslaughter as a possible defense. So with that in mind, I'll leave it to the next speaker. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Andrea O'Sullivan. I'm a graduate of New York University School of Law, and over the last decade, I've worked in justice system reform and policy, first in many countries abroad and then back home here in Buffalo. I'm now executive director at Partnership for the Public Good, which is a community-based think tank that unites 300 nonprofit and community groups in Buffalo, Niagara. And I would like to echo some of the comments today, sharing almost my astonishment at the calls for rollback. In Buffalo, Erie County, and across New York State, officials, judges, professors, advocates, and concerned citizens studied and debated the possibility of bail reform continuously over, I would say, the last 3 years. Every piece of the new bail law was carefully crafted and negotiated at length. So the notion that these reforms just dropped out of the sky is misleading. The reforms are based on the extensive study of the impacts of money bail, the urgent need for reform, and in-depth research on how bail reform was already implemented in other states. And again, all of this was publicly debated for many months. It's important also to note that the major role that crime victim organizations, domestic violence organizations, and women's groups had at the table drafting and debating these reforms. So after all this work, to be honest, I'm not sure how any official can claim surprise that the reforms are now with us and being implemented. The research and direct experience that got us here showed that money bail hurts poor communities, undermines justice in the ways that we've heard of forcing defendants to go into plea deals, whether innocent or not. And we conducted research all the way back in 2018, where we observed 250 arraignment hearings in Buffalo City Court to really study how was bail being set in Buffalo, how often and at what amounts was it being used. So we found that money bail was set higher and more often in Buffalo than in New York City. The amount here, a median bail for misdemeanors in Buffalo was $5,000. In New York City, it's $1,000. So that's five times higher bail set than in New York City. So the negative impacts that we've heard about here of the previous bail system were even more severe in our community than in other parts of the state. It's a myth that the new bail law allows for automatic release of defendants without any oversight or monitoring on offenses that involve serious violence or concerns about public safety. These laws have been carefully written to actually give judges more options than they had before for pretrial services, monitoring, supervision programs, instead of allowing only for release on money bail as in the previous law. And it's also really important to note that there are also special factors that judges must consider in cases that involve charges of domestic violence. I also just want to reflect a bit on the role of judges as well. Our research suggested that bail is often set arbitrarily and inconsistently here in Buffalo City Court. In the many cases that we watched, most often there was no rationale stated for why a defendant should be held pretrial, and when a reason was given, the amount of bail really didn't change. One study on bail in Chicago found that the average bail hearing lasted for 37 seconds. We think in Buffalo it's a little bit longer than that, but these are not deep deliberations that we saw over the last couple years in city court. In our observation of six judges, only one in Buffalo routinely asked defendants if they were employed, if they could afford to pay bail. Among the other five judges, there was really no discussion of the individual's financial or personal circumstances to try to decide was bail necessary or not. Finally, how often a judge set bail in Buffalo varied hugely. We watched one judge who set bail in 92% of the cases, money bail in 92% of cases that we observed, and then all the way down to a judge who set it in just 46% of cases. So again, this huge difference if, as a defendant, you're brought in from one Monday to the next of what type of a bail hearing and what amount you would have set. The median bail amount set by each judge also varied hugely. So we saw one judge that set a median of $3,800 per each bail hearing, all the way up to $10,000 was the median of another judge. The new process that's happening now is that when someone gets arrested, the police officer issues to them an appearance ticket, telling them to come to court for an arraignment on an appointed date. And we think it's important to point out that that is already how it's been done for years in many town and village courts in Erie County. So with these changes, Buffalo and our courts here are simply doing what our surrounding neighbors already do. Where people arrested in Buffalo for the same charge as people in Orchard Park or Hamburg will now be treated the same, and that was not the case under the prior system. So given all the reasons for bail reform and the research that tells us that it works, in closing, I just want to again echo that this bail reform is actually an opportunity for Erie County. The Buffalo News has estimated $35 million in savings in the first year. So instead of questioning these reforms that were so well thought out and so fought for, our local lawmakers should consider how to reallocate the estimated $35 million to be saved in jail costs in Erie County alone. These savings, funded by our tax dollars, could be redirected from incarceration to fund common sense crime prevention measures that address the underlying issues of most low-level offenses, such as substance use disorder, mental health issues, chronic homelessness, and poverty. So for too long, over-incarcerating poor people for minor crimes and violations has fed this cycle of poverty and has made us all less safe in the process.
Karima, you want to make some comments before we take questions?
Thank you. My name is Karima Amin. I'm the founder and director of Prisoners Are People Too. That sounds strange to a lot of people, but we've been going strong for almost 15 years here in Western New York. I am a lifelong Buffalo resident. I was educated here in Buffalo and was a teacher for nearly 25 years. I'm retired now and thought about retirement a long time ago, but it's interesting. I actually left the public schools 8 years before retirement because I'm also a storyteller. And a local radio station invited me to come on the air and tell stories for Black History Month. Keep telling people I'll be black 24/7, 365. You don't have to just call me in February. But that's what happened in 1994. I hadn't thought about prisons. I hadn't thought about prisoners. I thought a lot about education, a lot about students, a lot about my own children. But having the opportunity to tell stories on the radio actually led me to being heard by men, women, teenagers who were incarcerated. I heard from them in their letters, and I found out what was happening with this criminal injustice system. My mother always said, if you see something isn't right, see if you can do something about it. So I ended up creating Prisoners Are People Too. It was a way for me to educate the community and to advocate for the voiceless. Everything I learned, I tried to share with the community. And so Prisoners Are People Too grew. Unfortunately, some people thought it was just for black people. Nope. Some people thought it was only for men. Nope. It was for everybody in Western New York. And ultimately, everybody in Western New York has heard a little bit about Prisoners Are People Too. And we invite you to come out and be further educated and attend one of our meetings. We meet on every single last Monday of the month at the Rafi Green Community Center over on the east side, 1423 Fillmore. What we try to do is make the community aware of what's happening with this criminal injustice system. My foray into an understanding of money bail came when I was confronted by a family in trouble because they didn't have money to pay a loved one's bail. I didn't realize what it was like, what it was about. It was something I had never encountered in my own experience. But now, nearly 15 years, I've heard of people losing their children because of money bail, not being able to complete their education or training because of money bail, losing their residence because of money bail, having a family torn apart because of money bail. I welcome this January 1st bail reform measure. Long time coming, and it makes so much sense to me. But over the last few weeks, I've read crazy stories about the need for repeal, for pushback, for rolling back, and so many criminals are going to be released and everyone's going to be less safe. Not true. The stories are lies. People have been in trouble because of money bail, and with the new law, fewer people will be in trouble now. And I'm happy about that. I welcome the phone calls and emails that I get from people that are in trouble, but sometimes people only want to know what can they do. We don't have money, we don't have housing, we don't have food, but we do have information. And if we can do anything, we try to at least provide the information, the education, and point them in the right direction. This measure is absolutely needed, and it's a long time coming. And the way that we had to fight to get it might be the way we have to fight to keep it. I applaud all of you for being here and for at least thinking about how much sense this new law makes. And I want to applaud everyone who fought for it. Now we might have to fight to keep it, but let's do it. Thank you.
So these are the experts. You are welcome to ask them any question you like. I will say, for full disclosure, on Karima's last words, I am prepared to fight for this. I think it's worth it. And I think at the end of the day, even the people who are the distractors will agree that this is worth it. I've already been threatened to be challenged for a primary. Not afraid of those. Had them before. Whatever it takes, I think this is the right thing to do, and I'm pleased that we're in this direction. Questions for any of the council here?
Earlier this week, a Chickamauga, in Chickamauga, a woman was arrested three times in the same day for different various charges and release. I know it wasn't for violent crimes, but it does come down to public safety because she was driving without a license, she was reckless driving, controlled substance, those things. I think, in general, people in the public would think that that's unsafe.
I think that there were at least three people who stood in front of you and said what the judge's options were in those cases. That's not on the law. That's on the judge she was before. But I'll have you speak. Yeah.
When somebody's released on bail, one of the conditions of the bail is that they not commit crimes. And in this particular case, the police officer, after the second arrest, did have the right to bring that person in front of a judge and have bail set.
I would just add, I think in that case, it's extremely clear that that woman is not getting the help or services that she needs from the criminal justice system as usual. So that's why we're really pushing for savings from this bail reform to go into programs like pre-arrest diversion that put people with substance use issues and mental health issues into the services they need, and not just in a situation where they're going to be repeat arrested even on the same day.
So the reason this legislation is better to remedy the situation you just articulated is because under the old situation, all the option the judge had would be to take that person and put them back in jail. Now they have pretrial supervision. They have interaction with people who have the clinical abilities to address the needs. Clearly, if the person is arrested three times within a span of 24 to 48 hours, there are underlying problems that have nothing to do with the bail system. In this situation, this law helps better understand and remedy the issues that you've identified.
And just one other thing, for every one case you hear like that, where a woman gets arrested three times in 24 or 48 hours, there are 50 to 100 to even more cases where someone got out of custody who deserved to be out of custody and kept their job and kept their house and kept their kids. So let's not focus on the hot button, you know, outliers. Let's focus on the entire system as a whole, making sure that we understand exactly where all that's coming from.
Anybody else?
Over the last couple months, we've heard from crime victim advocates, from district attorneys, even town supervisors, who've raised concerns specifically about that list of crimes that's included in this new law. What would you say in response to the criticism that they think that list of crimes should be relooked at?
Well, I would disagree with them, and as you heard Mr. Connor speak earlier, there were these types of experts at the table who went through the list of crimes to decide which ones should be included in the law. This decision was made from legal minds. This wasn't a call of mine as a legislator. It was a call of people who understand the law and its ramifications. And so I don't think that they made any mistakes. But with any law, there's always an opportunity to amend or tweak or add value to, but we can't say that, and it hasn't even been 30 days. We can't say that, and I think it's wrong to say it. So I think the people who you speak of should want to speak to someone like John Elmore or Terry Connors or any of these people right here so they can really understand that the negativity that they hear is not the real issue here at all. And so I'm happy to give them my phone number and have conversations with them. I've offered to do this to my colleagues all over upstate New York. If they want me to come in and talk to their district attorneys, I will. I don't think the information that they're putting out is correct, and I think that they, for whatever reasons they're putting out false information, I can't explain, but I can tell them what the real truth is.
Assemblywoman, I think even the governor said that it's kind of a work in progress. When he's saying that, how do you respond then? That there needs to
You know what?
Is there anything that you...
The governor and I are great friends, but we sometimes disagree. We sometimes disagree, and I think he is not the only one. There are a few other people who I think are saying things for expedience. Before this law was implemented, there were some really bad things that happened in New York City around the Jewish community. People wanted to attach that to it. But if you really go and talk to the leaders in the Jewish community, they will tell you that this is almost biblical, that people have a right to be free until they've been convicted of something. And so, I hear the governor's opinion, and I just disagree with it. I think we should allow this position to stay exactly like it is until we found some reasons to eliminate it, and I don't think we will, because I don't think our founding fathers made a mistake with the Eighth Amendment when they said that you have a right not to have excessive bail. You have a right to be proven guilty before you are actually incarcerated for something that you didn't do. So I don't think they made a mistake with that. I doubt the governor thinks they made a mistake with that. And I think this bail reform bill allows the Eighth Amendment to work the way it was designed to.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.